You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're exploring kids and death. Our first guest is Kelly Guybe Eckenroth from the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What does the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico do?
So the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico is a very special place. We provide support groups for children who've had a loved one die. And it's support for their parents and for them, but it's a being in a group of your peers and talking and sharing experiences about the death.
When children have like a loss of death, how does it differ from children and adults?
So how do you think a grief looks like for adults?
Probably a lot worse, because from there you get to know people a lot longer and you've had more experiences with them. And I feel like that kind of makes a big difference of how you react to grief.
Yeah, some people think that grief means sadness. And for adults, it looks like that a lot. They're very sad. But for kids, it looks really different. It depends really on the age of the child and how they understand death. For little kids, they might just be really afraid to be apart from a loved one, or they might start wetting the bed again or feel really sad. But for kids that are a little bit older than that, they might feel anxious or worried about other people dying. They might feel angry. They might feel a little confused because they don't know what's going on, or they don't understand that death is final and that the person's not coming back. And for kids that are like in mid school, they could be really angry, but they also are trying to kind of figure out what their life is going to look like without the person. And for teenagers, it's really crazy because teenagers are kind of separating from their families already. So if they lose someone in the family, it can be really hard on them and they can feel really guilty. And sometimes teenagers cope in really unhealthy ways. So it looks really different.
So is death different when the person or the thing that is dead is a pet or a human?
I think when you love someone, you have those feelings no matter what. I think relationships with pets are a little less complicated than with grown-ups or brothers and sisters that might die. We have all kinds of feelings.
So when a kid goes to the New Mexico Grief Center, what do you do there to help them?
So first, kids come to orientation and find out what the program is going to be like, and then they're invited to join a group. And they're put in a group with kids about the same age that they are. And in the groups, sometimes we just hang out. Sometimes we play games. We do crafts. It's more dependent on what the kids are wanting to talk about and do. It's not like therapy where we sit in a group and just talk. We like to do things that help us talk. So we might make a memory box to put special memories in of our loved one. We might do some things about getting out anger, like ripping up telephone books. I think we still have telephone books around. Things like that.
What kind of change do you see in the kids from when they first come to you at the grief center versus when they feel like they've had enough?
That's a really good question. So when kids first start at the grief center, they're often really sad, confused. And really, I think it's hard for kids because they feel like nobody else understands what they're going through and that they're the only person who's had someone die. And being at the grief center makes it feel normal. And so through the process, we see them having fun more. They are better able to cope. They can focus better in school. They're not as worried or afraid anymore.
Sometimes when I think about my friends who have passed away or my family who have passed away, I still get very, very sad. And it could be 20 years later. Is grief forever?
I think grief is a lifelong journey, and some days you don't even think about the person who died, or you don't think about the grief. And then maybe the next day you're in your car and you hear a song and it takes you back to the day that they died, and the feelings are very much the same and just as strong. So it's just learning to live with that loss and learning that those feelings will pass and you feel less sad as the days go on. But you're right. Some days it can feel just like the first day.
What suggestions would you have for kids who are going through grief to help them?
If it's a loss that they're really struggling with, I would think that it would be good for them to get some support. Find somebody they trust who they can talk to about it. And the best way to be there for a friend who's grieving is just to be there to listen to them and tell them that you don't understand what they're going through, but you want to be there to support them. Sometimes people say things like, I know just what you're going through because your dad died, because my dog died. And kids don't really want to hear that, because losing a dog is very different from losing a dad. So it's good to just say, I'm here to support you in any way you need help with, and I just want to listen to you, and I know what you're going through is really hard.
So are there any more things that we should never say?
Yeah, especially to kids, it's don't say he's in a better place, because what could be better than being here with me on Earth?
Are there children's grief centers around the country?
There are many bereavement centers throughout the whole country, and you can go on National Alliance for Grieving Children's website. That's childrengrieve.org, and you can find a locator for a bereavement center in your area. Our website is childrensgrief.org, or you can call us at 505-323-0478.
Kelly Geib-Eckenroth is from the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top, so this is the stair where I always stop. Halfway up the stairs isn't up and isn't down. It isn't in the nursery. It isn't in the town, and all sorts of funny thoughts run round my head. It isn't really anywhere, it's somewhere else instead. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom, I'm not at the top, so this is the stair where I always stop.
That was Diana Panton from a CD called I Believe in Little Things with the classic Halfway Down the Stairs. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone. And in the studio with us today on the show is Vanessa Vassar. She has published a book called Evan and the Sky Goats. It's published by Leaf Storm Press and illustrated by Ophelia Cornet, an Albuquerque artist. And welcome to the Children's Hour, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me.
Usually you're here behind a camera and not ever on the microphone. Your son, Evan, who I assume Evan in the Sky Goats is named for, is on our kids' crew.
Yes, he is.
Why did you decide to write the book?
Actually, I didn't give, or I didn't think I'd given much thought to writing this book. A friend of mine was staying at our farm, and she's actually one of the people who brought the goats to our farm. And she was doodling one morning, and I said, oh, I love your art. You could illustrate a children's book. And she said, oh, do you have one in mind? And I said, well, I think I do, but I never have time to write. At the time, my son Evan was 2, and we had a lot to do on the farm. And she said, well, I'll watch Evan for a couple of hours. You want to go write a story? And so I wrote the first version. So, and it was based on the passing of my daughter, Sky, and finding joy again in this world through goats, and after the birth of my son, Evan.
What is the book about?
So the book is about a little boy named Evan. So a little 3-year-old boy whose sister has passed away, and how he's grieving, how he's dealing with that, how his family, in particular his parents, and especially his mom, how they are dealing with that, and how he befriends some goats on the farm and ends up in a magical journey that helps to heal his soul.
So on the back of the book, there are love thoughts for someone grieving and love thoughts for those supporting someone grieving. How did you come up with these love thoughts?
Through my experience with being with so many small children, including Evan's, one of his older sisters, Samantha Dates, who was 5, I just went back into my memory of what helped us, what helped the small children, and what helped me. The love thoughts for those supporting someone grieving are twice as long as the love thoughts for those grieving, because so many people ask, what can I do? How can I help you? And I didn't know. I wasn't an expert. I am now an expert on grieving, but I wasn't then.
Can you read a section from your book?
Yes, I'd love to. Okay, this is the beginning of Evan and the Sky Goats. Evan Delphinus had just turned 3 when everyone started crying, even the trees. They cried for days and weeks and even months, which were made up of more days and weeks than Evan could count. Mommy and Poppy took turns holding him when they cried, and when the twigs wept raindrops, Evan hugged the trees, too, because he knew his hugs made everything feel better.
How did the goats play into the story?
When my daughter passed away at the age of 13, I was in a free fall of grief, and I remember one day I was sitting in the kitchen alone, and my partner at the time had taken his 2 daughters to a fair, a street fair, and I turned on the radio, and I was listening to KUNM, and someone was interviewing a woman about baby goats. And I started to turn it off, and then I heard her voice. And this was Nancy Coonridge of the Coonridge Goat Farm. And she talked about these baby goats and her goat farm. And I thought, I need to go there. I need to go to this goat farm. So I looked up the goat farm, and I wrote to her by email, and she responded. And I went out to this goat farm, and it was amazing. It was the first time after my daughter's passing that I felt like I belonged in this world still. It was feeding the baby goats, watching all of the goats. They were so sweet and they were so funny. And just watching the life cycle while I was on her goat farm and being in nature, that started to heal my heart. A couple of years later, after my son Evan was born, and still being in touch with the Coonridge Goat Farm, in fact, having many of the people from the farm come and stay at our farm when they were in town in Albuquerque, Nancy gifted us 3 goats, and they were Electra, Evening, and Ebony, 1 white, 1 black, and 1 brown, and the brown and black ones were twins, just like in the book. And so watching Evan run around with these goats was also an inspiration for this book.
It brought joy back.
So much joy. And that's why I wanted to write this book, because as a grieving parent, I wished that I had had something written by someone who'd been through this.
Vanessa Vassar is the author of Evan and the Sky Goats. It's printed by Leaf Storm Press. Art is by Ophelia Cornet. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you, Katie, for all of your support all of these years.
I miss Grandma. Grandma isn't here. Haven't seen or talked to her for at least a year. She used to take me shopping to go out to eat. She'd buy me a Coca-Cola and complain about the heat. I'd complain about the way she'd chew with her false teeth. She didn't drive her car right, would embarrass me. Grandma would listen to me, oh, she taught me to be fair. She was the best friend that I had, we'd go everywhere. Sometimes I'd make her laugh, sometimes she would cry. She never really felt too well after Grandpa died.
Terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable. The moments when you're in so deep, feels easier to just swim down. And so they move uptown and learn to live with the unimaginable. I was in the garden, I walk alone to the store, and this quiet uptown, I never liked the quiet before. I take the children to church on Sunday, a sign of the cross at the door, and I pray. It never used to happen before. In the street, walking by himself, talking to himself, have pity. You would like it uptown, it's quiet uptown. He is working through the unimaginable. His hair is gone gray, he passes every day. They say he walks the length of the city.
You knock me out, I fall apart.
Can you imagine?
That was Kelly Clarkson from the Hamilton Mixtape. And before that, Barry Lewis Polisar. Today on the show, we're talking about kids and grief, and you can learn more at childrenshour.org.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without ever spending a dime. Learn more at tokenibis.org. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. The Children's Hour is supported by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico supports the Children's Hour.